folks. Back at Water Day at the Capitol.
It's been an excellent one, I got to say. The first two podcasts, above and beyond.
Oh, it went well.
Very well.
Kind of broke the ice, got the nerves out of the way, so yes. Now we're ready to roll now.
We have our third guest. Would you please introduce yourself for us?
Sure. I'm Senator David Bullard from Durant area, but I've got Atoka, Durant, Hugo, Antlers.
Perfect. Senator Bullard, well, obviously we're talking water, and I was just being told off air, you were very instrumental, specifically the
in-stream flows.
Yeah, we worked on in-stream flows since I've gotten in the legislature. Matter of fact, my first year, they came to me and asked if I would run. Charlotte Hearn asked me if I would run a bill that Joseph Silk had that was on in-stream flow, which was the whole enchilada. It lined everything out on what in-stream flow shall be and how it works. We got that bill out of committee, but never could get off the floor. And that's kind of been the story ever since. You know, I filed new legislation, different types of legislation ever since then on in-stream flow. And this last year, we even tried to just define what in-stream flow can and cannot be. So we're working on it. I've always been able to get out of committee, but I've never even received a hearing on the floor yet. So we're baby steps on this one.
That seems to be the theme with this is baby steps.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, we did. We sat in a room last year and just kind of hashed out the definition. Senator Bullard was there, myself, the Choctaw Nation, and then some other smarter people that are smarter than myself. It seems like it's a reasonable ask, but like anything that to do with water or that is perceived as maybe regulatory, it's definitely seen with some opposition.
Yeah, and I think we're fighting some past battles as well. That's what I've kind of come to understand is there have been those who have tried to use in-stream flow as a manner of taking away people's rights, personal property rights, and that's not our intent. Our intent is to find the study, get the science, and then have a game plan going forward of what do you do with this now? You've got this information in an in-stream flow, and then how do you want to use it? Because the day we run out of water was the day it was too late to figure out what we're going to do then. You know, right. You need to have a plan going forward. And, you know, I taught for 15 years, and one of the things I always told my kids in my government class was governments are always reactive. They're never proactive. They wait until you're in a crisis before they act. And what we're trying to do in this is have a plan going forward so that the state never has to worry about their water or water usage or water quality or the economics of your water. And to do that, you have to at least define what an in-stream flow shall be. And that's just step one. That's an easy, easy step. I've got a lot of ideas on how to make this work and how it should go from there, checks and balances and stakeholders getting involved. And we've written all that language out. But one thing I will say, too, here, I've learned in my 6 years here, large bills with lots of mechanisms very, very seldom ever pass. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to back up and take those baby steps as you go. And we're going to get it. It's just a matter of time.
One big step, I think, in the right direction is this new House bill. Is it 321?
I can't remember the number, right. So I've been through about 2,000 bills, so right. I can't remember the bill number, but
close.
Yeah.
Representative Newton's.
Yeah, it was Representative Newton bill, and Senator Howard ran it, actually, on the Senate side and did a very good job of explaining it. And he comes from a farming community, and he's always been in support of our in-stream flow studies because of the same thing he runs into, you know, relevance of groundwater to running water to your above ground water is so connected that if we don't start paying attention to what's beneath our feet, it's just a matter of time before that thing runs out. And so these aquifers need to be protected. We need to, you know, have some understanding on how much water we are actually using. And I think a lot of times if you just keep the blindfold on, then you'll never know what you're doing wrong. And I think if they actually end up, if this makes it through the governor and we get what we need done on it from that standpoint, you know, at least now we're paying attention to how much we're pulling out of the ground. And so I was very much supportive. I believe I was a co-author on the Senate bill and I believe the House bill as well. Because if nothing else, you need to just be paying attention to what you're using and how much you're using. If you're putting out 2 acre feet of water on corn when you only have to use 1 acre feet, then we need to start asking some questions. And I think a lot of that may just be ignorance, too. I don't think the farmers intend to just put too much water on. That's not their goal. So I think if we can get a better understanding of how much you're actually using, but we don't know that unless we're monitoring how much water that is. And so we want people to take personal responsibility for the water that they're given here. This is a wealthy state when it comes to water. but we've all watched wealthy people lose their finances and become poor. And it is a blink of an eye when Oklahoma could become a poor state on water. And so our goal is to keep it that way.
History has shown that water is a finite resource. I mean, you can use it up. So to not measure what is being used seems, you know, I understand.
Counterproductive. You know, the one thing a farmer requires is water. One thing a rancher requires is water. One thing cities require is water. And so you might as well be paying attention to how much water you have and how much water you don't have. And because the day you run out of it and you can't water your crops, you're no longer a farmer. Yeah. The day you can't water your cows or have water for your cows, you're no longer a rancher. And your cities and towns will shut down and shrink if you don't have it for them. So, you know, water is essential for growth in all areas, not just in farms.
Our area, Southeast Oklahoma, we get lots of water. We get lots of rain.
Yep.
You know, we're geographically a rainforest, I think, technically.
Pretty
much.
You
know, kind of in the corner of a state. We're surrounded by areas that don't get rain like that in the western part of the state.
Yeah, I was looking at the Oklahoma Mesonet graph. They had that 3D printed mm-hmm. graph, and it's pretty much opposite of exactly how the state's elevation goes. Mm-hmm. Elevation goes up towards the Panhandle. The water, the Mesonet, the amount of water goes up towards the southeastern corner of the state.
Yep. Yeah, and I think one of the biggest issues is the rest of the state sees that and is, you know, well, you have plenty of water.
Exactly.
Based on our consumptive use alone, you know, we're not a highly populated part of the state.
Right.
But
so it seems like we have all this extra laying around.
At appearance, yes. But then when you figure in, you know, economic impact, tourism, just all the other things that should be taken into account when, you know, mm-hmm. trying to figure out how much water is being used and allocated. And I think that's probably the goal of the in-stream flows. And to get good science, new science, accurate science, and be able to make a reasonable plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and just to understand your surroundings, you know, you don't just pack summer shorts to go on an Alaskan hike. You know, you plan accordingly. Well, right now, we can't plan accordingly on how much water needs to remain in these basins until we understand how much water needs to stay in these basins. And right now, we're just writing blank checks that we don't know for sure we have. And that's the danger in making any decision. You know, when I taught school, we used data-driven results. You know, if my kids weren't scoring well or doing well on certain sections, well, the problem was with me. And so I wanted to analyze as much data as I could to find out how do I improve from that point. Everybody does that. You know, smart businessmen, you know, they that's what they do. They analyze data and look at it and say, how can I make this better? Water is one of those few things. A lot of people prefer a blindfold to a budget, and I would prefer a budget to a blindfold.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah, we don't have any room for that around here. Remember, we've had that.
Well, I know today is Water Day, and I know that you've been a big help to the ORWP, the group I'm here representing today. You spoke about Charlotte earlier and all the work mm-hmm. she's done in the past. Moving down the road, talking baby steps. In your opinion, what are maybe one or two of those first baby steps?
Well, the first step has to be to define what it even is. So you, whether you like it or not, OWRB, DEQ, the tribes, they're all doing in-stream flow now. But we did an interim study on this 3 years ago, and what we found out in that study shocked me quite a bit. They're just using whatever definition of in-stream flow they want. And what I want is a solid definition that says if we do these, whether they're state-guided or not, here's the definition by which you're going to follow and what the definition is not. And in that way, it provides some security to say, no, we're not here to take away your senior permitting rights. We're here to ensure that we have water quality, the economics that you talked about. That's got to be the first step. I am still a very big advocate. In Southeast Oklahoma, there is a treasure that we had better not ignore called the Glover River.
Yes, sir.
And my intention is to make sure that river is protected for my great-grandkids to go fly fish in, just like I did with my grandfather. And so I'd like to still protect that. We had that bill pretty close called the Charlotte Hearn Water Protection Act, and we had defined that as a heritage stream. We did not use the federal definition. We created our own state definition, and it's a definition that basically says if it's an undammed, free-flowing river, since statehood, which the Glover is the only one that fits that definition, then we protect it from being industrialized and further permitting out of it. And so we've got to protect the Glover. You know, we're going to have to move from there and start talking about, okay, once you have the information on in-stream flows, how do you pay for that first? And those are expensive, you know, if we're doing basins and looking at those from that standpoint. And I think you're going to have to find a funding mechanism and formula to be able to get those funded as we move forward. And there's some ways I'm working on that as well. And then once you have the information from the in-stream flow, you got to figure out what you're going to do with that information. And the stakeholders in Oklahoma need to be the one that make that decision, not necessarily the state. That I think that's where most people get concerned, is that from we're going to have a top-down model. But in America, we've always followed a bottom-up type model. I mean, you look at the American Revolution, it started from the bottom up. And when you look at different ways things have always worked in this country, it's a bottom-up model. And the stakeholders need to be the ones to determine what are you going to do with this data. And then let the state enforce what the stakeholders want. And so if it's in Southeast Oklahoma, I can tell you right now, I know the stakeholders in Southeast Oklahoma are going to want to protect the water that they have. We enjoy it from recreational standpoints, but you have a large ranching industry that relies on that. You have a large farming industry that relies on that. And so we want to protect that and make sure that's there from here on out. But we also in this state have to protect and make sure that water stays in Oklahoma. And, you know, there's so much of it there, and it's so valuable. You can't blame someone for wanting that water. True. But I can blame them for trying to steal it from us or exactly. Take it from us. And so we have to protect and make sure that water stays in Oklahoma and isn't sold out of state. We want to keep the treasure here. And because once you start selling it, that Pandora's box never closes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think that would probably be your last step once you have the data.
Right. As far as the country goes, how many states do not have a defined in-stream flow?
One.
And we're it?
We're it.
Okay.
We are the last to actually take action on that. And, you know, from a standpoint of Oklahoma, you brought it up earlier, we're so geographically diverse that it causes us that fight. You know, the old saying is whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. And that is never more true than in Oklahoma. Because someone in Northwest Oklahoma or Western Oklahoma has a very different view as somebody from Northeast Oklahoma. And vice versa, Northeast Oklahoma has a very different view on water than we do. I mean, Tulsa is all gravity-fed water. Oklahoma City relies on pumping it out of reservoirs. Western Oklahoma doesn't know what water is unless they pump it out of the ground.
Yeah.
And so you have just a differing opinion and review of what water is. And you have to respect that to a degree because,
right.
You know, I get it. You know, they all have different various perspectives on water. But at the same time, if we just hide and blindfold our eyes to what really needs to happen in the state on water, we're going to look up one day and regret that we didn't right. do something about it.
Well, it seems to me that not necessarily the two sides, but the two different regions of the state are starting to work together more.
There's no doubt.
There's more quote.
Well, the fact that Senator Howard ran that bill on metering water for groundwater is a huge indicator of that.
Yeah.
And one of the men who was pushing that bill was from Altus area, and he used to be completely opposed to what we were trying to do, and now he is completely flipped and is now helping us on that side. And you have other people even up in the panhandle that are starting to pay attention to what we're doing. We have to make sure that we understand we do not want to weaponize in-stream flow, and that's the biggest fear that they have. And
right.
So part of the reassurance that we have is this is not us to weaponize it. It's for security, actually. It's to make sure that your grandchildren have fresh water to drink in Oklahoma.
That's right.
Well, like I said, I know it's water day, but do you have any other
topics
or
anything
No information?
You know, one of the things we're working right now, part of this whole preservation of water, is making sure our cities and towns have what they need on the water supply. And most of your mid-level towns have a problem. They just can't do it. So this year we've actually proposed $125 million of one-time monies. We're not raising taxes. We're not doing anything like that. That's money that's sitting there from previous years. And we're trying to put it in a legacy-type fund so that we can help cities and municipalities, especially of the mid and small level range out in rural Oklahoma, be able to manage their water systems better. And part of that is we require them to be on that water sustainability plan, a long range water sustainability plan, because the older the pipes get, the leakier the pipes are.
Right.
And so a lot of the fresh water that you and I are protecting, what the last thing we want that water to do is get leaked out in a pipe in the ground.
Right.
And so that's a big first step. That'll be a huge win for us if we can get that this year.
Okay.
Because that $125 million gets leveraged against federal loans. And then you have that money gets loaned out to these municipalities and towns. And the one requirement is they have to be on that long range water sustainability plan. That's key. I cannot stress the importance of that enough. And then as they pay the money back to OWRB, that plus the interest grows, and we keep reaching more and more towns and cities where we have good water sustainability. We have plenty of fresh water for industry to come here, and we're not wasting it. Yeah. And that's very, very key to what you and I have been working on for so long now. And then the in-stream flow just adds the data to the technique.
The long-term water plan that you're speaking of, how does a community get on that? Do they just contact the ORWB?
Yeah, so what will happen is if they apply for the grant, OWRB will require them to create, they will require that city or municipality or county to submit a long-range water sustainability plan, and they have templates for that for them to help them on those kinds of things. And so towns just fill out, okay, what's your intention to have long-term sustainability, to analyze the leaks that you have, analyze the water supply that you have.
Is this available to water districts as well?
It is. So we made it, the loans from the program are made available to municipalities and the rural water districts alike, because out in rural Oklahoma, nobody cares about a municipality. They right. care about the rural water, you know. So that's where we get. And we have a lot of problems in our rural water. If you go to Sardis Lake right now, I mean, the pump system that they have out there is just antiquated. And the tribes have been very good partners and are helping us, and I'm very appreciative of that. But we need to have some plans on how we're going to increase water supply out there as well. Right. And so so it's a good plan. It's a good first step on this. We just, you know, we've got to make sure we get the data to back up what we're doing.
Heck yeah.
You got it.
Did you cover it all today?
We've been slowly but surely. We're kind of getting it all in.
Did I shut the podcast down?
No, that's perfect. No. Absolutely.
We know y'all are busy people today, so we've been trying to
get you in and get you out. We definitely appreciate you.
Yep, but, my pleasure.
You
know, anytime,
like I said, you can stay as long as you want. And if anything you want to talk about,
anything
talk about it.
I think I talked about most of it. Right. Okay, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.